think I might have mentioned this last week, but too often in our commercialized society, we celebrate Christmas through the season of Advent, and even way before that. It seems like it's coming earlier and earlier all the time. And then when Christmas is over, it's over. But it's actually the opposite in the church. The period before Christmas is supposed to be a penitential season, Advent, where we're waiting the coming of the Christ. Not only his anticipating his coming at Christmas as a little infant, but also his second coming. But in addition to that, we're also anticipating that coming when intermediate coming when he'll when we may take our last breath, and we'll have to stand before the Lord. So it's a penitential season, and now we celebrate Christmas. Now we're supposed to have a long Christmas. It's not just one day, it's many days following. But unfortunately, the world wants to take it all away because they have one thing in mind. They want us to buy presents. They want us to spend money. And that's not what it's about. Anyway, that's why we have a little more solemnity. We chant the gospel, we chant more of the Mass, and we remember that Christmas isn't just one day. It's a season. And then we need to carry that season throughout the whole year. And it's the same thing with Lent. We're supposed to have a penitential period up until the day of Easter, and then we have a long season of Easter. It's not just one day. It's a whole season. So just a reminder as to why we do a little extra at Mass here, and often if we had servers, we'd bring out the incense, but it's a little difficult with just one. Anyway, God sets his father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. All the readings today, including the gospel, express the primacy of the family, and particularly the father and mother in God's plan for humanity. In society in general, good families make for good communities, which make for good cities and states, and ultimately for great countries. As the family goes, so does society. For this reason, the church honors the family, but this is only part of the reason. Most importantly, the family is what Pope St. John Paul II called the domestic church. The family is the first place where every child should begin to learn about God. The parents are to model the Christian life to their children, and in turn, the siblings can model the Christian life to each other, and then hopefully we can model it to the whole world. It's all about the salvation of souls. There can be no greater model than the Holy Family of Nazareth. In the gospel today, the angel of the Lord appeared to Saint Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Joseph rose, took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed until the death of Herod. Today we saw St. Joseph in his role as father, protecting the infant Jesus and his mother Mary. He not only modeled the Christian life, but guarded over the family entrusted to his care. Every father must do the same. Fortunately, in our society, there probably won't arise any life-threatening situations, but it can happen, and it has happened. Regardless, there is an even greater threat looming out there. And this is where many fathers and even mothers fail in their responsibility toward the children entrusted to them. Of course, I'm talking about spiritual care. The father's role is vital to the care of his wife and children. However, in our world, especially in recent decades, manhood has been under relentless attack. Who hasn't heard the expression toxic male? As if manhood itself is the problem. Of course, this is ridiculous because to agree with the premise would be to say that God made a mistake and created human beings, male and female. God doesn't make mistakes. These direct attacks on manhood and fatherhood are ultimately indirect attacks on the manhood of Jesus Christ and the fatherhood of God. Unfortunately, many men have fallen prey to the attack. Consequently, a lot of men are not embracing their true dignity as spiritual leaders of their families. Men are very absent in church today. But don't just take this from me. Here are the real numbers if a father fails to take the lead as the spiritual head of his family. If the father does not go to church, no matter how faithful his wife may be, the children are 10 times less likely to go to church when they grow up. Only 1 in 50 will become regular churchgoers. typically. However, if the father is a regular church attendee, then typically 65 to 75% of the children will follow in his footsteps. Sadly, the same cannot be said about the mother. The statistics indicate that the father has the greater impact. All this may be quite politically incorrect, but it's written into our biology by our Creator and Heavenly Father. The earthly father has a very important and irreplaceable role to play in the life of the family, and particularly in the eternal life of the family. As I said, diminishing the father's role in the family has been a lengthy and concerted attack on the manhood of Jesus Christ and the fatherhood of God. So to our fathers and future fathers out there, biological, adoptive, or priestly, let's forget about political correctness and resolve, like St. Joseph, to lead our families and our future families from the clutches of the Herods of this world seeking to destroy our children, both physically and spiritually, before it's too late.